everyone to our Timpanogos School District board meeting on July 29th. We are starting at 6:03. We have almost all the board members in attendance. They're in the building, but not at the table yet. But we also have Vice President Sterling Hilton is joining us via technology. He is on vacation, but he will be the voice in the sky at this meeting. So we are going to start with our Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by Peter Kwan.
Please stand and follow my lead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have our inspirational thought will be given by Todd Dawson.
Does this go higher? Or should I just hold
it out?
Pick up the whole thing. All right, thank you. So over the years in my past roles, I made some notes so I don't talk forever. The rule is you don't give Todd a mic in a meeting. So. Over the years in my past roles in administration, I've had the opportunity to interview a lot of candidates for a variety of positions, and I always wanted to find the perfect interview question that I thought would get at the heart of what I valued or what our school community and our culture valued. And I always wanted to know what people believed about kids and why. I wanted to know how far are you willing to go to help every kid be successful. A couple years ago, I developed a question that I love to ask. It's this: what is your personal approach to improving your practice? This question helped me to understand the candidate's mindset and their approach to getting better at what they do. Back in March, at one of these study sessions, or one of your study sessions, Dr. Jensen introduced members of our Vision for Learning team to you, and he said, they are people who will continue to improve themselves and who will improve others. And that's what we show up to work to do, and that's what we believe in doing. That's what I want to do, is to get better and to help those around me get better. Educational leaders and researchers and authors Rick Dufour and Bob Marzano have written that school improvement means people improvement. We've even heard Dr. J make that statement. And I love that concept, and I believe it. School campuses are the school, the grounds, the rooms, the buildings, but the people are what make the school. A school's culture is defined by the collective beliefs, attitudes, and actions of the adults in the building, how they approach their work, how they show up each day. NFL football coach Mike Tomlin has been known to say, "It's not what you're capable of, but what you're willing to do." I love that idea. It's not what you're capable of. It's what you're willing to do. I see this as willing to try, willing to learn, willing to ask, to act, willing to fail, willing to work, willing to pause, willing to grow, willing to change, willing to do. Certainly there are other areas of willingness that matter, but willingness is paramount to a growth mindset. I once heard education leader Mike Mattis say that he wanted for his own children upon their graduation from high school to have endless possibilities. I love that. He had asked the room, "What do you want for your own child when they graduate from high school?" And we all talked about it. And then he said, "I'll tell you mine. Two words: endless possibilities." Students in Timpanogos School District should be set on a path to endless possibilities when they graduate from our schools. I'm excited to be part of that work and to have that focus as I come to work each day. Years ago, I adopted the mindset, earn your job every day. It's a privilege and blessing to work on behalf of children and families of our school district. We must, you must, as elected officials, never take for granted this opportunity before us. In the book Positive School Leadership, authors Lewis and Murphy stated, "The role of leadership is to create positive environments in which human beings can thrive." I'm proud to stand alongside each of you and each of our employees as we embark on this unique endeavor to foster genuine learning through a healthy culture founded on guiding principles and a clearly defined purpose. We're blessed to work together, and I thank you for your efforts thus far.
Thank you so much, Todd. Okay, next on our agenda is our community comments. There was a sign-up sheet available until the meeting started, and we have one person that has signed up to comment. I'm going to make this statement that I do every time. Patrons who wish to address the board are asked to sign up prior to the meeting. This opportunity will be reserved for patrons living within the Timpanogos School District boundary. Individuals living outside of TSD can submit written comments to the Board of Education. There is time on the agenda to allow for up to 3 minutes for public comment for 10 patrons. And speakers should introduce themselves by stating their name. The board does not engage in a discussion during the public comments, but may arrange a follow-up time for additional conversation. And also, I might add, a lot of times we mention comments that were made in our board comments at the end of the meeting. Personnel issues are not appropriate discussion items for an open meeting environment. If you have a personnel concern, we ask that you put your concerns in writing and address it to the Board of Education. The Timpanogos School District is a legislative body, and as such, it functions under the same operational rule as other similar bodies, such as the state legislature. Public input during its formal meetings is to assist the board in ascertaining public attitudes and interests. It is not a forum for open discussions or debate between the board and patrons. We have Stephen Doan, who has signed up. Stephen, if you can come to the mic, that would be great. Thank you.
Glad you knew how to pronounce my name, because a lot of people don't. I really want to say at the beginning, thank you for your time for serving on the board. You already know what I'm here to talk about, the bus depot that is proposed for my neighborhood. A bus depot doesn't belong in any residential neighborhood, not just mine. It doesn't belong in any. The proposed Anderson Farms location is a residential neighborhood. And by building a bus, if the board were to build a bus depot there, it would create a serious breach of public trust. Zoning laws exist to protect residents and owners of land from a serious change in the character of their neighborhood. And the city recently rezoned this land as public facilities. Public facilities allows for other government facilities. When the city was rezoning the land, I don't think they expected to have to protect the land from an essentially industrial use of a bus depot. Furthermore, the land has been intended ever since it was sold to the school district as a school. So residents have been purchasing land with that assumption. If you were to build a bus depot here, you'd reduce the livability of the area. And thereby home values. I did some research. I am an economist by education, not by trade, but economic studies show that home values drop a full 1% for every 1 decibel increase in noise. And so just looking with limited research I could do, that at minimum probably a 10 to 20% decrease in home values for the immediate neighbors of the land. That does not include the effects of exhaust, light pollution, or traffic. And I ask, is it fair to adversely impact residents of a small area for a modest reduction in amortized cost to the district as a whole? Putting a depot in any neighborhood, in my opinion, is a short-sighted solution to a long-term problem. So please, as a board, I beg you to decide that a bus depot doesn't belong in any neighborhood. I want to say, too, you're in an environment, I really appreciate your service. You're in an environment where other public servants, not you, but other public servants have breached trust. And so it can be difficult for residents to trust. So please be patient with us as we're patient with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Appreciate that. And I will make one comment on this. There is no proposal. There has nothing been proposed to the board about a transportation facility. It's still in the study phase of it. So there's a lot of things changing and a lot of things happening every day. Things change. So I'll just leave it at that. No proposals, I promise. Okay, let's move on with our agenda. We have approval of the minutes. If the minutes were sent out in our board documents to the board, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as they were sent.
I motion that we approve the minutes as they were sent out and as we've gotten.
A second, please.
I second.
Thank you. Any discussion about our minutes?
Did we really make 30 motions to open up proposals?
29.
Oh, okay. That was right. That's okay.
We did that. We did that last time.
I do think this is the longest minutes I've read.
Great. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Seeing none, that is approved. I will now turn the time over to Dr. Jensen for our discussion and action items.
All right. The first item on the agenda is the official adoption of the District Vision and Values Statement. This was something that was discussed last time. And this is something that our board, that you've all been working on for really since you were elected. We're about 8 months into this process, and this process was extensive. We took it out to every school except Mountain View. Long story why, we will take it to Mountain View on, in the fall, but because it is a living document. And one of the things I've appreciated in this process is just how you've been true to those values of being transparent as well as truly seeking the perspectives of the community in the development of this vision and values. It was discussed last time, and then actually there was a motion, but there was a motion to postpone so that we could clean it up because it was we had made some changes in study session. And so this is just back on for an official vote and discussion.
Okay, so we talked about this in our study session today. You all will remember. It was a long time ago that it started at 3:30, but we did discuss this. And so did we add the motto or no? Were we able to add that?
Part of the motion.
I didn't get it added.
Okay, that's fine. Because it's a living document, so we're going to add a motto of we learn to thrive. We'll be in that yellow spot. We learn to thrive. So I will accept motions. We've got Sterling in the sky. Sterling, I am entertaining motions to approve our vision and value statement as presented in our study session today.
I move that we approve the vision and value statements as written.
Can I get a second?
I second.
Great.
Can we add the motto with the addition of?
With the addition of the motto, we learn to thrive.
Yes.
So moved and seconded with that. Okay. And I open it to discussion.
Dr. Jensen, can you explain the motto, the two edges of that, the two meanings of that?
Yeah, so we learn to thrive, obviously, that we learn so that we can thrive, and also we learn how to thrive. I think those are the two meanings in the statement, and both are significantly relevant for all of us, especially our kids.
I think that really fits in with the no do be. It hits a lot of those aspects in those three categories.
I just want to say how happy I am that we have our vision and values all solidified so that we have some, because that's one of our main jobs when we took this job as school board members, is to have a vision and values, or not, especially the vision for, and I think other than Sterling, I think I've wanted this more than anyone here.
Can I just
I think
say,
maybe,
go ahead, Sterling.
No, I was just echoing Grace. I'm really excited that we have an approved document, or soon we'll have an approved document.
And I think there is, it's so wonderful to have the value statements, because we have already encountered times when we've had to, in making decisions, we've had to reflect on, well, what are our values? This is what we value: accountability, transparency, integrity. They give us a basis for how we are acting and for how we should act.
I think also, as we've discussed this, we've all been very transparent with each other and spoken our minds, and we've also been very kind to each other.
I think we've been empathetic. I'm not sure.
You weren't here for the behind the conversation. Okay, any other comments? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving our vision and values, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Seeing none, that passes fully, unanimously.
I would love to just comment as well briefly on that. As a superintendent, I would not want to work in a district that didn't have a compelling vision and values. I think every decision, every interaction, everything we do when it comes back to that vision and values, we make better decisions. We'll be able to make better schools so that it's best for our kids. So thank you for making that a priority. All right, the second item on the discussion tonight is the location selection of the Timpanogos Education Center. And just by way of information, back in January, Frank Pulley gave us some possible options. In March, in the study session, they looked at some of the board looked at some of those options again. And then you'll remember in late May, we passed resolution 2026-008, authorizing the solicitation of bids, design, engineering, and construction of a new district office facility. And then tonight, there's two items related to that. And so I'm looking forward to the dialogue. We already had a significant dialogue in study session that we've talked a lot about that. But I would say that I have appreciated just the way that the board has looked at multiple options on this and weighed the different costs and opportunities. And I appreciate the process you've gone through to get to the point we are in tonight. So,
okay, I will. We're voting on this, right? Yeah, okay. So I will entertain a motion for the location selection of our Timpanogos Education Center, a.k.a. district office, to be there. On where it says on the thing. Well, I'll open it for discussion. To be located on our current property where, at 490 North State Street. Mm-hmm. Can I get a motion?
I move that we locate our Timpanogos District Education Center, also known as a district office, at 490 North Linden State Street.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay, now I open it for discussion. So Jason wants to answer any of your questions?
Yeah, I think, Jason, if you could pull up your points, that would be very informative. Dr. Jensen, you can. So, we just wanted to show that we did look at several options. So I'll leave that to Jason.
Which slide is it? Keep going. That one right there.
Okay. Is that the one? Okay. So the
If you go back one more, it's the dates that Dr. Jensen was talking about, the timeline where this has been discussed in board meetings, study session, and also in the regular board meeting. So January, March, May, and then in the study session earlier today. And the next slide, this is the possible solutions we considered. So there was some thought of, do we distribute employees throughout the district to a variety of schools where there's space available? Do we lease space in an already existing office location? Retrofit a property we already own? There's one empty building right now at Valley View, or building new? Some really good discussion in the study session. Any board members want to reiterate what they shared there?
Jason, I think if you went to the slide where you actually went to specifics, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, but what I always found interesting, because I have had discussions with constituents about this with that one, yeah, is people think that we could just go in and take over a school and just use it as it is right now, but the needs to retrofit that building cost a lot. They cost a lot of money. We're doing that for our Sharon, at the Sharon site for our Silver Peak and T-Tech, but that was an imminent need, and we knew that long-term there would be options for building something that we didn't have the funds to do at the time, so this was the best way for us to address that need. But that is going to cost $3 to $4 million, and that is taking it from a school to a school. To take something from a school to an office building is changing the very nature of the building, and it's going to cost, they say $5 million, but I think it could even be more, especially with adding the technology that we need to go ahead and stream our meetings and all of the technology that we need to effectively serve our population would be a lot of money, almost half of what it would cost to build new. And that, to me, made no sense, to be able to spend that sunk cost. That's not money that we can recover. We're not going to get that money back to do something that is going to be a very short-term solution. And that's one thing that I've really considered in all of our things, is we need to look down the road 20, 30 years. We don't want to be doing things that are just a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I would add to it. You kind of mentioned it, but we're starting a new district, and we're not just trying to put a Band-Aid on something until we reunite with Alpine or something. We're not doing that. We are starting a new district. Let's have a district office that works and functions like a education center. So.
And I would just add, cost aside, which the cost is significant, it would be a bummer to sink upwards of half or more of the cost of a new into an old building that you would never recover. But for me, cost aside, there's some other elements that are even more important, and those are that having people in a central location, having it all in one campus, makes a significant difference. There's no district employee that works from home, right? We depend on being able to be with those teams and being able to collaborate effectively. One of the things that I think is often misunderstood is that a district office is viewed sometimes as it's where administrators work. There's actually fewer administrators in a district office than non-administrators. There's employees that work in curriculum and technology and nutrition and all of those types of work that are creating the conditions for students and teachers and principals in the class or at the school level. And so that ability to work effectively, I think, gets to our vision and values, and I think that's a crucial element of what we're trying to accomplish here. Yeah.
Another end of that same idea is I've spent a bunch of my career in education working with special ed teachers, special ed department. There's always, including my daughters, two of them which are special ed teachers, and there's always a feeling of they're separate. And Alpine, because of their size, had to make a decision to farm out special ed down to here to Linden. But that already took a department that already felt like removed a bit from the central office or from the central work, even though it's not. They feel that way. And now all of a sudden they're 5 miles, 10, 15, 20 minutes away, and it creates even more of that. In my district, in the district that I'd like to create, I don't want that. I want them to feel like, hey, we're part of the team, because guess what? They are. And having a central education center allows for that for all the departments, not just special ed, all the departments.
I'd like to mention that Alpine School District has built up a building fund over the last 7 to 10 years, and they have advanced some money for startup costs. So the advanced money is going to cover the cost of this purchase of land that's not being discussed right now, but the building of the new Timpanogos Education Center. So we do not anticipate having to take a lease revenue bond or significant debt to build this center. Any debt.
Yeah, those are all things I was going to share. Well done. That was awesome.
You taught us well in our study session. We were listening, Jason.
Yeah. The retrofit, like you said, it's going to be $5 to $6 million if it did that. If we go to, I think, a couple slides forward, that's the building fund where the capital that Board Member Sorensen just talked about. Here's the possible departments. So there is the campus. We'll show we can show some design things there, but there is a building that's not huge, but there's right now has Alpine's technology, physical facilities, and purchasing. That would remain and become Timpanogos School District property. And be able to utilize that. So we would use that for some professional development space and then also for those departments that are on the right. The ones on the left would all be in this new proposed building where, like was mentioned, in Alpine School District, because of the size, a lot of those, CTE is not at the district office, the main location. Special ed is not. Teaching and learning is in a trailer across the parking lot. Other things that aren't right there in the same building. So this gives that opportunity to all be there. And the cost there, as we'll show, for the land that kind of helps with parking and building that building like the board wants to with a nice presence right on State Street is about $1.5 million. And then the building of the building be between $8.5 to $9.5 million.
Can we go back to the map? Because one of the questions we've had regarding our transportation facility is why can't we just, like, this used to be the bus depot, why can't we just turn that back into the bus depot? And that, if you can highlight the tech and the warehouse and the tech, that was built, just at least that little white part at the top, that was built, it's a very nice facility, holds probably, 30 offices and some space. That was built 9 years ago, and all of this would pretty much, if we didn't purchase this land, all of that would have to be demolished to make room for the buses that we need. Also, that building that's to the right, that used to be a bus service bays, the bays for them, but they have all of the innards of that have been removed, and so another to retrofit that would be more expensive than actually building from scratch, because working within an existing building is harder than just building from the ground up. So, and there's not enough space for the buses as it currently is. I think we get 60 or so buses, and we're going to need 80. So there's not room there.
And when this was used as a bus depot, the buses did not park here.
Right.
Parked in neighborhoods.
Some of them did. I mean, there was parking for some that were being serviced, or if the bus drivers didn't have a capacity to be able to park somewhere, but a lot of buses were parked on city streets, which isn't safe for, you know, the buses. Like, that's a attractive nuisance, and they're not covered, and they're not able to plug in to be able to start on those cold mornings. So I know that's a concern of some individuals here, so I wanted to point that out.
I just wanted to comment that for those that thought, oh, you just should use one of your existing buildings, as was pointed out, we only had one existing building available, which was Valley View, the Valley View Elementary site, which is in the middle of a neighborhood. It's not ideally located. The property itself has two levels. That's hard to work with. So to go with any other site, we would have to, we're in the middle of a boundary study, and we haven't completed it. And so we can't really identify buildings that are going to be empty until we complete that boundary study. So that wasn't really an option for me to consider seriously.
Especially since we have employees that will be starting full-time and need a home July 1 of 2027. Sterling, do you have any comments?
No, I think everyone's covered all the information.
Do you want more slides, Jason? Do you want to show?
Are you done, Jason?
It's up to you.
With our discussion?
Renderings?
Yeah.
There are two parts to this. We do have to vote on location, which is kind of what we discussed. And we've kind of bled into the second part already. But.
Yeah. So we have a motion on the table for locating our Timpanogos Education Center district office. That is not decided as far as what we're going to call it yet. That will be a later discussion. But we have a motion on the table for approving the location of our Timpanogos Education Center at 490 North State in Linden. And a second. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Did you say aye, Sterling?
I did.
Okay. Any opposed, say nay. Seeing as none, that motion passes. We'll move on to the resolution.
Okay, with that passed, we'll go on to resolution number 2026-013, which is the authorization of purchase of real property in Linden. And that is the small section on that map adjacent to our current property. And, Jason, is there anything you would want to add to that?
The process of this has been really interesting and was challenging for a little bit. The board really wanted us to pursue that to be able to, like I said before, a nice look for the community, something that can be able to be attractive. People drive by, look, that's our school district, main facility. And so we worked really hard. We want to thank our realtor that was helping with that. But we have that under contract. It has not closed yet. That's why we have this on the agenda tonight. The scheduled closing date for that will be August 11th. Everything's moving forward for that, pending the vote for the board tonight. So it's about 1.35 acres, and purchase price for that, about $1.5 million.
Okay, we haven't had a motion, so I will entertain a motion for passing resolution 2026-013 to authorize the purchase of real property in Linden, the 1.35 acres as shown here.
I'd like to make that motion.
Motion from Board Member Fugel.
I second it.
Second from Board Member Smith. I will now open it up for discussion or questions that you might have for staff.
I just appreciate Jason's work on this. It's something that we started talking about back when Frank was presenting. We're like, how is this going to work? And appreciate your reaching out to our realtor that we work with that kind of did a lot of the work, and probably work with him again through the years. But I really appreciate that work that's been done.
Jason, I'd like to thank the property owner that was willing to sell the property to us. It was, I know it was a lot of hard work and to get there, and but it really squares up our property and makes it workable.
Yes, he has been, our realtor worked a lot with him, but we've met him a few times, and he's been fantastic to work with. We've also met with the people that lease that property right now that have the car dealership, and they've been great to work with. And so it's been a fun process there.
Any other discussion or questions? Sterling? Oh, Grace is going.
No, I would just echo that I'm excited about this finally happening. I think this is a good long-term decision for our district.
I just want to say I'm really happy that it will have a better facing to State Street rather than just the side of the building had we not purchased this property. And much more parking, because nobody wants everybody parking on State Street.
Yeah, that is not.
Yeah, I have to just say, I don't know how many times I drove past the entrance before
<So small.
laughs> before I knew I had passed it. So I really think, well, early on, I had my eye on this property. I was very pleased, Jason, that you were able to make it happen. I think it will be a presence in our community and be meaningful to our employees and our children.
And in addition to that, just so easy to get to for all of Orem, all of Linden, all of Pleasant Grove, and most of Vineyard.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Seeing as none, all in favor of approving Resolution 2026-013, authorization of purchase of real property in Linden, Utah. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sterling?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that has passed unanimously. Yay. Okay. We will now move on to superintendent and board member reports, information items, and comments. I will start with Superintendent Jensen.
All right. I talked last time a little bit about just what an interesting and amazing experience it's been to staff this new district, and how it's been very gratifying to be able to get people settled, because for our employees that have not known now for 2 years where they're going to be in July of 27, it's very unsettling. And I'm happy to report that we're getting very close to the end of that process. We're not very far away from it, and we just wanted to highlight a handful of folks that have been hired in the last few weeks that are going to be a really critical part of our team, and some of them are here tonight. We appreciate you being here, but we have hired Misty Rocha as our Director of Professional Learning and Coaching. That's going to be a key element to our teaching and learning team. Improving our teaching and learning across the district. Donnie Baum is our Director of Research, Assessment, and Analytics. And Donnie is coming from BYU and is going to add an incredible perspective to finding evidence of effectiveness as we pursue our vision for learning. Kim Richards is currently the Director of Purchasing in Alpine School District, and she's coming over with us to Timpanogos. Amber Gardner, her Assistant Director of Purchasing, is also going to join our purchasing team. And then we've started the process of filling out the business services team, which runs all the budgeting, finance, payroll, all of those types of things. Crystal Michaelis is going to be our Director of Finance. She's been in Alpine School District's Business Services. Jody Dougal has also, and Allison Sabin have all been there in Alpine's Business Services. But Jody Dougal will be our Assistant Director of Finance, and Allison Sabin, our Director of Payroll. I just want to thank all of our folks, in regardless of where they've ended up, with the patients through this process. I've talked to a lot of them as they've come and interviewed and just said, let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. It's really strange to come and interview for a job you already are working in with people you're working with, and it's just really awkward, and you feel unsettled about it all. And so it's really good to get to the point where we're a few weeks away of really being pretty much fully staffed come July of 2027. And I'm grateful for that, but I'm also grateful for these great team members. I sleep a little better at night every time we add someone. So those are my comments for tonight.
Thank you, and welcome to those new members of our team. We're so excited. Okay, we're going to start in here, right? We're going to start with Ada and work our way down.
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Grace.
I just want to thank Todd Dawson for giving us such a great inspirational thought, and I just always want to be willing to earn my job every day. So thanks for that, and I will keep working on that, and I'm really excited for this district and the things we're doing. It's going to be great.
I was kind of planning out the next couple of weeks, and as I looked at the calendar, I realized that next week is Alpine School District's administrative conference. I retired from Alpine 3 years ago, and have attended many of those, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's upon us again. I think it's on the 5th, if I'm not mistaken, that we're being asked to go. And then I looked the following week, and Michelle, I got your email about the PTSA and the kickoff, and I've been to many of those at Sky Ridge through the years, and thought, oh, man, here it is. And then I was planning some other things, and was starting to think, oh, when's the open house for my son's school? It's a brand-new school opening up. It's T-Tech is where my son goes. I was like, okay, when's the open house back-to-school night for him? And then a couple of days later is the first day of school, and it's all Alpine. It's not us doing that. But I was like, oh, that's a lot of work a lot of people are doing, including people who are working for us one day a week or whatever, but they're at Alpine. And then I started looking and thinking, well, we also have a secondary configuration meeting and elementary ones and more and more and more. And it's like, we have a lot of work we're doing too, but it is upon us. The school year is upon us, and it's time to start scheduling the different meetings that we'll have with our schools. And it's just a lot of excitement, a lot of work, and it's here.
Sterling, would you like to take a moment?
Yes, thanks. I just want to go on record as saying again how pleased I am that we have an accepted and adopted vision and values. I agree with the comments that Joe made earlier that others made as well, that they really are important and they will help guide our actions and our decisions moving forward. So I appreciate all the effort from the board members and others and the community in helping us create this vision and value statements.
Great. Thank you. Guy?
Yeah. I have one item. I call it a calendaring item here. October the 10th, which is a ways off, and it's a Saturday evening, and it's the UVU President Scholarship Ball. And how many of you have attended that before? Okay, Ada. Well, I would like to, Paul and I would like to host all of you at that ball that evening. And so if you'd kind of mark your calendars, I'll check with you in the 1st of September and see if you can make it. And if not, we'll open it up to some other people. This is kind of a tradition Paul and I've had for many years, and Pleasant Grove City has been the recipient for the last 8 years. So now it's your turn, and I think it's good to be seen over there, and it's a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Michelle?
that some people would be interested to know some of the initial findings from our survey that we sent out on grade configuration. And so I have a couple slides on that. The first question was, are you in favor of moving ninth grade to high school? And over 4,000 people responded to that question, and 63% are in favor of that move, with 26% against. So that was the result of that question. The second item that we were studying in that survey was sixth grade to junior high if we do move ninth grade to high school. And it was interesting to see that the respondents dropped off. In that, there are only just over 2,900 respondents to this question, but 52% were in favor of moving sixth grade to junior high if we do move ninth grade to high school. So interesting results there. And then there were some key takeaways that I'll let everybody just skim over. One of the key takeaways that I like feel the same about is to ensure the social emotional well-being of the younger students transitioning in with older peers. I'm sure there's a lot of thinking of that move. There could be some anxiety for parents and students as well that this is new and different. But also, you know, these children are younger. So being sure to take care of these children, and also it was made in study session to take care of the teachers, too, who would have to make these transitions. So that is one thing that I appreciate from the takeaways and would want to plan and take care of.
Jen, I just... would be
want to reclaim your time?
I want to reclaim.
Go right ahead, Ada.
Sorry. We would be remiss if we didn't say thank you to all of our parents and patrons who participated in our focus groups concerning our elementary boundary studies. This is the real hard part, because we have programs in our elementary schools that are very important to our families and our students, especially our gifted and talented and our dual language immersion. So thank you to all those parents who participated with us in helping us to understand what's important to you and what shouldn't be important to us as we make decisions in the next month. It's upon us. So we'll be working hard to get good options to the community.
Thank you. I had the opportunity last week to attend a visit at Tabitha's Way in Pleasant Grove. They offer, it's a food pantry, and they offer other services to families that are struggling, especially those who maybe don't feel comfortable going to their congregations for help. They serve a lot of people. It was amazing to me how big the need is there. And they have a real desire to continue their community outreach. They're looking for ambassadors to serve in the cities that they serve, and that's kind of the north. I think Orem is served by Community Action, but so it would be Vineyard and Linden and Pleasant Grove. If you're at all interested in being an ambassador to help bridge the resources with those who need the resources, please reach out to me. I'm looking for people that would be willing to help, and they're also focused on. I was really excited. In a past life, I was a financial counselor at a business helping people with their finances, and they are creating a curriculum around helping people with self-reliance, and so I'm excited about being able to help with that process to really help people get back on their feet. That was really interesting and really informative. I'm excited for the opportunities we have to make. We talked in study session about parenting classes, and we do have some wonderful organizations in our communities that are providing services to our students and our parents, and I'm grateful for future partnerships. I was reached out by someone, One Kind Act a Day, that wants to have some partner with us as well in providing some help there. So I'm excited about that and the opportunities we have, not just for the basics of education, which is our core, but also being able to provide, be a true community partner with these other entities that are trying to make our communities better. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. I'm grateful for, it has been overwhelming couple of weeks, I will not lie, with I've been getting a lot of emails, and it'd be easy for me to get overwhelmed, but I love it. I love the opportunity I have to interact with our constituents, and I hope that they feel that respect back as I respond, that I'm grateful for advocacy. I'm grateful that there are people that care so much. And it really is heartening to me to know that together we are going to work to make this district the best. And I commit to you to continue to listen and to be able to help in our decision-making process. This is part of our this survey. It's not. It was interesting, and I had a conversation with a friend this week, and she said, "Oh yeah, I got the survey and I voted. I hope what I voted for wins." And I was like, "Well, I had to explain to her this isn't a vote. We're not voting, and the biggest person, the most votes wins. It's an opportunity for us to get feedback and really gauge the public's input, and we need that. So don't ever stop. Don't ever. I hope I never put that out. Just stop contacting. We need that. It's vital in our work, but it is one point that we are going to take information. It's a very large and looming point that we are going to consider in our decision making. I promise you that. But we have a lot of information that we have to consider. So I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for each of you that are here. I want more people to come to all of our meetings. I want to have a full roster of public comments. When I first started this job, that scared me to death. I thought, oh my gosh, I have to sit up here and have people just come and yell at me. But I thoroughly enjoy it. I really enjoy hearing from each of the people that have shared, and I think it helps us be better and do better at our job. So thank you. We have no need to go into closed session today, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn our meeting. Seeing as how we've done everything,
I motion that we adjourn our meeting.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, great. We stand adjourned. Sterling, have fun. We'll see you when you get back.
All right. Thank you.